It's the Escape Artist Podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com, hosted by yours truly, Marshall Couture, also known as Black.
We make, relate, create, it's change harness. The soul within the comics and movies that they market. Activating people's imaginations, the target, work the hardest. With passion and heart, it's Escape Artist.
What's up, everybody? Marshall Couture here, also known as Plex, and you're listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. Episode 42. I've done it again, I remembered. Why? Because, once again, today I uploaded the latest podcast. I'm not going to attempt to say the date again because I totally screwed that up in the last one. Even though I know what it is. July 16th. So there, I attempted it. Hopefully I'm right, even though I know I'm right. But it won't be up till next Monday, hopefully. So yeah, that's what's up. And it's Wednesday now, so. But yeah. Just kind of had a sudden inspiration talking to my buddy, Michael Vallad. And, oh, man, we had, like, a really awesome time the other night. I had a chance to go hang out with him on last Friday night. And we, as usually happens with us, you know, I'm like, oh, I'll come there for a couple hours. And I know you guys got to get to bed because you got to go get up early in the morning and stuff. So, you know, I won't stay too long. I was there till, I think almost 1 o'clock in the morning. I know I got home at like 1:30 or something like that. So it was pretty late. And by the time we got done, I mean, we probably could have kept talking forever. But, you know, I was either going to have to stop. I don't know. I was like falling asleep almost talking to him. I was so tired. So I think I just got to that point, and things were starting to become nonsense in my head. But, so fun and exciting, and we watched the documentary, The Image Revolution, which is really cool in my opinion. Like I've said many times, I came up kind of in the image era, and so that was a really inspiring video, and really showed the behind-the-scenes stuff of what happened back then, and up until almost now. It's a little bit of a dated video, but so there's a few years in between, but really cool, really inspiring to see what these guys did and how awesome it was back then. And, you know, I was just thinking about that now and thinking about another thing is Michael shared with me some stuff of when he first was really trying to get into the comic industry and stuff, and that was actually really inspiring. And it was around that time that, you know, maybe a couple of years after Image started or something like that, that him and his buddies were really trying to do some stuff. And I'm not going to tell the story because, you know, I don't know if he wants to share that or not, but you know, maybe I'll have him on if he does want to share it, and we'll talk about it sometime. But, you know, it was really inspiring to me. And what I was thinking about just now is, for a really good topic to talk about for the podcast is, you know, that initial, like, when you're young, that initial feeling and, you know, like, you want to do something great in the world and, you know, your dreams are just so huge. And I don't know, not everybody feels this way. Not everybody knows what they want to do, you know, at a young age. And, you know, I really feel for people who have that situation going on. But what we were talking about, you know, both of us, and I think a lot of people maybe who listen to this probably felt this way, is they fell in love with something, whether it's comics or music or whatever. For me, you know, the first thing was comics. You know, I just fell in love with that. I was like, I know that this is what I want to do for a living, you know, when I grow up. And I ended up kind of becoming a lazy artist and not really pushing towards it like I should have. And I also got distracted by the music, and that became my kind of big push. And yada, yada, yada. I've told the story before. But, you know, I just, that passion, though, that fire, you know, and that I thought, thinking that, like, the whole world is open up to you and you can do anything type of thing. And, you know, I just remember having that feeling. And I think a lot of my, I feel like, you know, I almost missed the bus with that. You know, maybe I should have pushed harder, you know, and I should have not gotten so distracted by different things. And I feel like, you know, I had kind of had a golden opportunity to really use that passion and push forward. But, and I do remember the things that caused me to get distracted back then. And I can't say that I would have done it any different, because I didn't know what I know now. And, but if I did, like, people say, oh, they have no regrets. I have regrets, sort of. I don't know. Like, I'm realistic with myself. You know, I think that when people say they don't have regrets, it's a bunch of BS, really. Everybody has things that they wish they did better, or things they did wrong that they might feel guilty about. And, you know, if you don't, I don't know, I kind of think that you're maybe not being honest with yourself 100%. Or you're not being, or maybe you do have them, but you're just not being honest with other people. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong at that, you know. I'm not saying what I'm saying is 100% right, but I just have a hard time believing that people really don't have regrets. And, you know, so in one way, I do have regrets, you know. But at the same time, I don't know if I would have done it any different, just because I didn't have certain knowledge that I have now. And, you know, you think you know everything when you're young, I guess. That's what all the old people always used to say to me. And, you know, and I guess I feel the same now. I realize that you kind of do think you know everything when you're young. But at the same time, that's such a dismissive, phrase that adults like to say to kids, and it doesn't help the situation, you know, because it kind of stifles that fire, you know. It's like, you think you know everything when you're younger. Well, maybe you don't know everything, but, you know, try some things and figure it out. And some people do, they somehow catch that fire when they're young, and they push forward, and they actually do make something great, you know, and they do have success, and that helps them. And then they realize some things and get some more wisdom, and probably fail at a couple things because they push so hard, maybe not knowing some things, but they learn by experience, and that experience is golden. And they sometimes they crash and burn, but I think a lot of times they also learn from their mistakes and then make better decisions as they get older, and then have a second go at whatever it is they're doing, and maybe become even more prolific, you know, and learn how to run the marathon instead of running, you know, the sprint that they tried when they were younger, burning bridges and burning candles at both ends and all those fun phrases and metaphors. But there's something to be said about that original, like, just fire and inspiration. And, you know, and I think you kind of lose that if you don't use that, you know what I mean? And I think you can kind of, I hope that you can kind of regain it. But there's something kind of magic about it, you know? And, you know, I kind of fall more, I think, on the side of a little bit of depressed, or a little bit of, you know, disillusionment, or a lot of it, you know. And at this point, you know, and I even kind of, in that melancholy and you know, that apathetic type of stuff, and it's like the fire is still there, but, you know, the reality has definitely set in, and and I'm maybe a little more reluctant to push like maybe I would have if you know, if I was still a young teenager, you know, thinking the world is at my fingertips type of thing. And so, but I, that, those stories are super inspiring, and I don't think we've, those of us who haven't made it, you know, and with that initial push, have missed the boat. We've learned some things, and I think we can regain some of that fire and, you know, create new fire. And I know I'm speaking a lot in metaphor, but, you know, bear with me. I'm not trying to be, like, all artsy-fartsy and weird, but, you know, my younger adolescent self wouldn't have cared about that and would have thought, there's nothing wrong with me doing that. So maybe I should push on. But let me pause it. But, you know, I mean, that fire is super inspirational. And, you know, a lot of people knock on, you know, these image guys and stuff. But if you watch the DVD, I think you'll feel a little bit differently, at least for them, I hope, you know. just as people, you know, really stepping out into the unknown, and, you know, not that nobody ever tried it, but, you know, other people have tried it and had, you know, some success here and there, but nobody ever tried it on that scale, you know, to break away from, you know, the big two, you know, comic companies, and, you know, not only break away, you know, subtly, but, like, break away, burn the bridge, and stick it in their face type of thing, you know, and there, that's that, like, adolescent, like, type of, you know, fist up attitude, and that's how they did it, you know, that's really how they did it. They, I mean, they literally went to Marvel and DC offices, and they just, like, they said, you know, we're not here to negotiate anything, we're just here to let you know that we're out of here. And they even went, they weren't even working for DC, but they went to the DC offices and they're like, you know, we're just letting you know we're breaking away. And they tried to offer them contracts because they're like, these are the rock star artists right now that are doing awesome. And they're like, no, you don't get the point. We're not here, you know, to negotiate something. We're here to just to let you know that we're striking out and doing our own thing. And I mean, it's, there's a lot of arrogance and ego that was going on back then. And, you know, you can kind of, it's easy to, like, just be like, oh, I don't like that kind of attitude and stuff. And you know, I'm not that way, you know. I don't really like that attitude a lot of times. But at the same time, sometimes a bold move like that is kind of what the industry might need or people might need. And, you know, it is very inspirational. And, yes, they did go on to, like, create a bunch of books that were sometimes kind of half-assed and, you know, sometimes didn't come out on time and whatnot, but Image is still going on to this day, and they are a force to be reckoned with in the industry and have been since they started. I mean, they were doing, you know, far more sales than Marvel and DC at the time when they first struck out and for the first couple years. And then they kind of lost a lot of their steam because of issues. And then, you know, the whole thing with Kirkman and Walking Dead kind of brought them back to a big deal, you know. And so yeah, that story and the stories that Mike Vallad was telling me about, you know, that stuff is, like, really inspiring to me right now. And I keep hearing this thing online, I keep hearing people, or, like, on podcasts and stuff, this is kind of, you know, you notice things that people just happen to be talking about a lot, you know, it catches on, and a lot, you know, for a while, everybody will be talking about this one subject, and boldness, that's, like, kind of a big theme right now. Like, I keep hearing people say, you know, talking about bold moves, it's important to make bold moves, and, you know, I don't know, boldness has never been something that's come easily to me, except for when I was young, and I was kind of a jerk, you know, sometimes. I feel like I was a jerk to people, and, you know, I think that comes with partially with adolescence and thinking you know everything, and I don't know. So I feel bad, you know, for that, because I'm not that way anymore, and I'm not really at the core that kind of person. But, you know, I guess, like I said, the adolescent thing. So, you know, and you kind of got to be a jerk. And I actually watched another documentary about McFarlane, and it was not quite as inspiring, to be honest. And he was very inspiring on the Image video, but on the one of All About Him, his ego did kind of get out of hand, in my opinion. And he kind of did become a jerk and a hypocrite, kind of, in some ways. And I'm not trying to put a dark light on him. I mean, you can watch the DVD and see what you think. And that was years ago. Maybe he's learned some things since then. But, you know, there were... And I still like him. I still think that he did cool things and stuff. But I just... Some of the things were a little too arrogant for my taste. And other people, you know, I see that with too. So, but boldness is something that can be very helpful, though. So, yeah, my audio cut out there at that point. So, I have to re-record what I was talking about. And so that's fun. But, yeah, so McFarlane's had a lot of kind of like a lot of boldness in some of the actions, and like I said, I don't really mean to criticize, because he did do some really inspiring things. It's just some of the moves, and he even says, like, on the DVD, he's like, I guess I'm kind of a hypocrite, because there's certain things that, you know, I didn't feel that I thought differently about when I, you know, wasn't kind of in charge, and now that I'm in charge, I kind of, you know, I'm a force to be reckoned with type of thing. And so yeah, but like I said, boldness is like it's like kind of a key. It's something that you can really, that can really be used in great effect. And I think a lot of artists aren't really good at that, because, you know, we tend to see the gray areas, you know, and that's kind of what the awesome thing is about a lot of art, you know, is it brings out things that people don't think about, because, you know, like, I don't know, for an example, like, to me, I always loved hip-hop for a lot of reasons. You know, the music was a big part of it, but another part of the music that people don't talk about as much sometimes is it gave a voice to people who didn't have a voice, you know what I mean? And I'm not just saying, you know, African-American people or anything, because there's a lot of, you know, other races and stuff that have been very heavily involved, and pretty much all races have been involved in hip-hop, and even from the beginning, but, you know, just for those people who, you know, didn't, it's kind of like punk too, like, people who maybe don't have the kind of resources to, you know, put out a hit album, I don't know, and whatever, like, that's what a lot of music does, even if it's not hip-hop, but hip-hop is really one of those things that gave a voice to people who, you know, there wasn't really a ton of ways for African-Americans to have a strong voice, and a lot of times they did find a way through music and through, you know, sports and things like that, but hip-hop really gave a lot of people a voice. And, you know, it did have an effect, and I know personally for me, I mean, I'm a white kid who grew up in the suburbs, and, you know, and when I started really digging into hip-hop, there was a lot of things that I didn't realize that they were saying that I'm like, well, you know, my parents never told me this, because they don't know really, you know, about it. I mean, they know some things. You know, my parents weren't, like, racist or anything, but, they didn't, I don't think they understood, or at least didn't tell me about, you know, they couldn't have, because they came from a different point of view. You know, I just didn't hear the point, that point of view, really, is what the point is. You know, it's one thing to, you know, empathize with a situation or whatever, but it's another thing to tell it from the point of view of that situation, you know what I mean? So, anyways, you know, I don't really remember why I got on that, but, you know, oh, I was talking about how art, you know, it gives a voice to people, to the voiceless sometimes, and, you know, it explores gray areas a lot of times and gets into abstract things, and all those things aren't necessarily something that, you know, requires boldness necessarily, but there is boldness in art. I'm not saying there isn't, and that, I guess, is how those things come to light when artists are bold about stuff. So, I don't know, I guess it does, but I think what I'm saying is, like, people, you know, artists tend to be more sensitive, I guess, to maybe a lot of different issues, and maybe that's too much of a generalization, but their job a lot of times is to bring things to light that aren't really, people don't think about sometimes, I think, a lot of times that's part of it, but I don't know. I hope you kind of get what I'm saying. I don't know if I'm explaining it very well, but so there's that. But yeah, like I said, the, you know, the image guys really inspired me. And you know, and the thing I'm, you know, really mostly talking about is kind of recapturing, if we can, that fire, you know. And being inspired by those kinds of stories. And even if you don't like the image guys, there's plenty of other stories, like with music and stuff, and, you know, a lot of rock stars and things like that, people who came from nothing and made something of themselves, and usually it's in their early years, you know, from teens to 20s type of stuff. And, you know, there's a naivete, whatever, and there's a lack of experience and wisdom, but there's also just a go freaking conquer the world type of thing, and I think I feel that way still, but, you know, like I said, that reality has kind of set in, and sometimes, you know, I don't have necessarily the freedom to just kind of go say, okay, I'm going to take a road trip or something and, like, you know, tour comic book shops and see if I can get my books in there and do signings and stuff like that, like, on a whim type of thing. You know, I don't have that kind of luxury or anything. Or, you know, a lot of times music, people will say, like, you know, that kind of rock star, like, really getting out there type of thing is, it's a kind of a young man's game, you know, when you don't have a lot of strings attached and you can go do a lot of touring and stuff. And I'm not saying you can't do that when you get older and stuff, but a lot of people want to, you know, settle into a family situation, and, you know, I definitely do. You know, that to me is just as important, if not more important sometimes, you know. And you know, and it all depends on what you want out of life, but still, like, there's no reason why you can't continue with that passion, just in a different vein. And I think there's a few keys to maybe doing that kind of I was thinking of. One of them, a big one that I always like to talk about, is learning. Like, I think we should always, always, always be learning. We should never, you know, stop that desire, and, like, we should always be inspiring ourselves and trying to get better at whatever we do, because we'll never come to an end of that, and that keeps it fresh. And I mean, even if you're focusing just on one subject, you know, especially if it's something as deep as, like, drawing or storytelling or something like that, you're never gonna not have room to improve. It's just not going to happen. It's too too huge of a like a process, and there's too much to it, you know. There's so much to get good at for drawing, and so much to get good at for telling a good story, and a lot of other skills as well. Some things you can master, you know, some things that are a little more finite, like, I don't know, how to work a machine of some sort, you know. There's only so far you can go with that. But, you know, so we should always be learning and just constantly learning. And, you know, this whole idea of, like, retiring or retiring early, like, I used to think that was kind of cool, you know, like, oh, yeah, I've heard that term, retire early. I'm like, yeah, heck yeah, you want to do that. And, you know, then you can sit on the beach for the rest of your life and have fun. And that's not appealing to me anymore. There, you know, the things, and that's the thing about that adolescent fire and all that, you know, the things that I thought were my goals and the things that I thought were I was supposed to be shooting for, I now realize, you know, I've kind of come to a common denominator of what really is my goals, and even what was my goals back then, but I just didn't realize it. Like, you know, I thought money was the goal to look for, you know, and fame, like fortune and fame, you know, that's what they put out there, and that's what kind of society tells you is what success is. And it is a measure of success, but it's only one of many, you know, measures. The money or the fame is one of many. And maybe it's not the one you want. And what the common denominator is really is you don't necessarily want to retire with money and fame, you know. You want to be happy. And you want to be contributing to the world, and you want to enjoy life. And that's really what it is, you know, that you want out of life generally. People, you know, that's kind of what's behind the whole seeking for money thing and all that. If people really are honest with themselves, I think. And, you know, when you're young, you just think, I just want to be famous and have money, because you just think that's what you should do. And now what the common denominator is, what I really want to do is the thing that I love doing is making art, making music, you know, creating things. And it's not even when the thing is finished, it's like, it's only almost like a second, you know, like you might have like a landmark to kind of celebrate, okay, the thing's finished, and okay, it's awesome if it's making some money or whatever, but what are you thinking of usually? You're usually thinking of the next project, because that's what's fun. It's the making of the project that's cool and fun, and what you want to be doing, what you love to do. And also contributing to people's lives and giving and creating things that help people. Like, any type of thing in that kind of realm is another thing, I mean, that really provides true, you know, joy and happiness. And, you know, you don't kind of know that as a kid necessarily, maybe some do, but, and I kind of knew that, but I kind of didn't too. Like, I feel like I knew it, but you just don't know stuff for sure, like for real, until you've experienced some things. So, you know, there's that. And, you know, I have this kind of hypothesis about Jack Kirby. Like, I know he went through a lot of stuff and had some issues and frustrations, and, you know, he didn't get paid right well for what he did, or like enough, and he didn't get his royalties, and you know, he's right to be frustrated about that. But I have this hypothesis. I think Jack Kirby was, for the most part, a happy man, you know. Yeah, he was kind of a slave to the drawing board, but you don't come up with stuff that is that amazing and imaginative and just blows past any borders of what, you know, comics were back then. And just that imagination, I mean, the depth that is in the books that he has written, and drawn and the art. You know, you don't do that if you're 100% miserable, you know. He was happy drawing, you know. He loved to do that. And I think it's only when he started to, he probably was like a lot of us, you know, you start to kind of go down that road and you get a little depressed when you start thinking about the money and this and that. And but I think in general, you know, he had a good family. He loved his wife and kids and stuff. I feel like he probably was generally a happy guy. So I got to pause it here, but I'll continue in a bit. And I think it does kind of reflect it, you know, and stuff that Kirby said. You know, he had passion. Like when you hear him talk, you know, he wasn't as good a speaker and whatnot as like Stan or anything, but you can hear the passion and the things, you know, he said. You know, he was proud to be a cartoonist and things like that. So, you know, he was a slave to the art desk, but it's not that hard to be a slave to doing something that you absolutely love anyways and would rather be doing anyways. So, you know, I'm sure maybe he had to work and sacrifice harder than maybe he would have liked. You know, maybe he would have wanted to spend some more time with his family and stuff. And, you know, that's where the frustration came in and paying the bills, I'm sure, and all that stuff. But, you know, I think that, you know, he had a lot of time to do something he really loved. And so, I don't know about you, but when I mean, that's kind of why I do this art stuff, because I love it, you know? And so I think he was generally a happy guy. And he really got, you know, to experiment with his art form. And yeah, I mean, yeah, that's kind of my hypothesis. So, but, you know, we really, I don't know, I just want to reconnect with that fire. I'm not saying I don't have that fire now or anything, I do, but, you know, that initial fire when we were young, you know, or when I was young, I kind of feel like I missed my chance to a certain degree. But at the same time, you know, we're in an age now where there's kind of more opportunity to do some of this stuff, and some of the opportunities are a lot different than they kind of were before. So it's really interesting. Wow, how many times do I have to record this podcast? So here I am again trying to catch up to what I was saying before, because somehow whatever I recorded didn't happen, so oh well. Here we go again. To finish this off, hopefully I can finish these thoughts off. And also, I noticed that I said, and I hope this isn't throughout all the podcasts, but oh my goodness, I was just re-listening and I'm like, I say, you know, way too much, like constantly throughout this podcast. The term, you know, oh man, I feel like a dumbass. So I'll try to stop doing that. Sorry if that's annoying. It certainly is annoying me now. But anyways, so yeah, we have a lot of opportunities now that we didn't have before. And I talked about the learning aspect as kind of keeping it fresh. And there were some other points that, you know, I was trying to make that I wanted to have a few sort of tips in there that would help us keep it fresh. And one of them was just to look at the examples of people. Young people who have that fire, and who have really used that and captured that and put that to use. you know, not taking it for granted. And I mean, I think of a lot of rock artists and stuff. I can't help but see them as really interesting examples. One of my favorite hip hop guys, Guru from Gangstar, you know, he grew up in Boston, and he tried to kind of make it with the hip hop stuff in Boston, kind of by himself, and you know, eventually he ended up moving to New York. You know, he ran over to New York and he tried to make a name for himself there because people weren't really appreciating what he was doing. Or maybe they were, but he just wasn't getting the traction that he wanted in Boston. And he really is known as, you know, a guy from Brooklyn now. And even though he's not from Brooklyn, everybody knows he's from Boston. I mean, he passed away, unfortunately, but he really made a name for himself. And the guy who he made a name for himself with is DJ Premier, who's still running around being super busy in hip-hop and one of the most respected producers, if not the most respected and well-known producers in hip-hop and sought-after producers. And he kind of has a simple formula, but it works, and it pretty much created the sound of the 90s, like mid-90s to even now. I mean, the influence, he's almost like the Jack Kirby almost of producing beats, you know, for hip-hop almost. Like, he's just really, he's been that influential. Everybody, if you ask any producer who their favorite, who's their biggest influence is in hip-hop, Premier is almost always the first one people say. It's just like comic artists say about Kirby. So, and he grew up in Texas, but you know, when you're young, you have a fire and you don't like let those kind of things stop you. A lot of guys will move out to wherever they need to be in the right place to make the things they want to make and whatnot. And both of those guys are known as East Coast New York artists that really laid the foundation for what is East Coast New York hip-hop, you know, and they've worked, I mean, they've ingrained themselves so much in that you almost forget that they're not even from New York. You pretty much think of them as New York artists. And, I mean, very few, if any, you know, groups have been as influential as they have. And it's crazy. And I don't know, that's one example of so many, you know. So that the point is one of the ways to keep fresh is always be, you know, kind of connecting to those stories. You know, either read historical things of people when they were young doing things, or, you know, read current interviews of people that young people, artists and musicians or whatever it is that you're into that are making, you know, big moves. I mean, say Kirkman, he's kind of a good example. You know, he's definitely got that vibe that the original Image creators had, and he steps out in bold ways and isn't afraid to kind of stick it to the man type of thing when it seems appropriate, and he's better for it. And now he grew up on the Image comic guys, and now he's the only member who has become a founding member after the initial founding members, you know. And even Jim Lee isn't a founding, you know, part of the group of founding members who control Image anymore. And I know Liefeld has, he was kicked out at one point, sort of. I mean, he
retired, I guess, but
sorry, I got a lot of sounds here. I'm trying to stop them from happening. And I gotta find out where I'm going. But I think he might have been let back in. I don't know if he's a controlling member of Image anymore, but he's, I know he's working at Image, you know, controlling Extreme Studios again, and that's his main push right now. He's back at Image, basically. He did a lot of, you know, stuff in Marvel and DC. But Kirkman was a catalyst for bringing him, Liefeld, back. The whole point is to find examples of people who are making moves in bold ways, especially when they're doing it, like, from that young passion when they were younger, and just to remind ourselves of what we really want to do and the kind of impact we would actually like to have. I mean, and I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not saying that I've lost that passion. I still very much have that passion, but sometimes I maybe should make bolder moves than I would or have. So that's an inspiration to me to kind of lead the path. Like that whole idea of, and I was actually, it's kind of good that I had to wait through the weekend before I'm like re-recording this and stuff, because I had some other thoughts. And one of those things is that the idea of being a leader, like people like to talk about leadership and like, there's a lot of books on it, and like I always kind of shy away from that because I don't really want to be a leader, as in I don't have a desire to tell people what to do, and I don't have a desire to have any control over other people's lives and be responsible for other people's lives. You know, I want to kind of do my own thing. But one thing I thought about that actually made me think more, a little bit better about the idea of leadership this weekend was, being a leader doesn't necessarily mean that, like, that's kind of just something that happens automatically from being a leader. What being a leader means is not waiting for permission, I think, is a big part of it. And striking out and doing what you want to do. Like, sometimes a lot of us have some interesting, innovative ideas, but we don't, if we haven't seen an example, we're a little hesitant. We're like, well, that's kind of unknown territory. Am I gonna, then the, like, maybe the fear of failure or something kind of creeps in and things like that. Sometimes those ideas might be the ones that change the world, or even if it's in our own little way type of thing. So, and that's kind of, you know, the thing that Image did, you know, they, we're stepping into unknown territory. And some things that Michael Vallad was telling me they were doing, you know, they were, there's, you know, I listened to this podcast, I've always talked about it, 48 Days to the Work You Love, podcast with Dan Miller, and it's my favorite businessy, markety podcast, because he's not like all, he doesn't get me in a panic to do like a million things. He's just like kind of chilled out, and he has a lot of wisdom to that'll help you move further. And one of the things is he helps people understand how to, even if they don't want to like break out and do their own thing, how to get like a new job of something in a field that they're interested in or whatever. And you know, a lot of things that he'll talk about is you gotta, when you're, you know, sending in these resumes and whatnot, you have to do some unique things that make you stand out. And there's a lot you can do to kind of push the envelope. And like one thing that, you know, Michael Vallad, and like I said, I don't want to tell his story because it's, you know, he might not want to tell it, but he did some unique things when submitting, or him and his crew or whatever did some unique things when submitting their project to a company to possibly get published, and they were really impressed by that. And I don't think they did that knowing that this is, you know, a strategy to get noticed by people, but they just did it because they had that energy and that passion, that young passion, like they're going to get in no matter what, they don't care, so they're doing this and this and this, and when they send their package, it's going to be like this crazy awesome thing, and it's going to stand out from all the other people who just kind of send in their pages, you know, and whatever it is that the people say to send in. So they kind of had that passion, and they pushed that forward, and the people were impressed. So, like, and I was, when I heard that, I'm like, that's exactly what you're supposed to do, you know? So I was excited about that. So, you know, there's that kind of thing. Remembering people, other people, seeing other people's example, being bold, and trying to think if there was any other things. You know, always keep learning, which I said earlier. And, yeah, I guess those are some good things to kind of help keep it fresh. And I'm sure there's a lot more to be said about this. And I'd love to hear your guys' comments on the whole thing. You know, let me know if you have some good examples, or even like, I don't know, DVDs, documentaries, things like that, that really excite you that are around this kind of topic. And also, you know, just let me know what you think about some of the things I've said, if they make sense. And the thing is I really want to recapture that energy, you know, that when we were young, and or that people have to push forward and do bold things that are a little bit like everybody, you know, a lot of these kind of moves would be stuff that people would criticize. Even your own inner critic, you know, criticizes you. And then once you make that bold move, some people are going to be cheering you on, but other people are going to be criticizing you. And that's what happened with Image and a lot of other things when people strike out. But those initial inspirations that hit you, those are powerful, and those are really, you should listen to those and not be afraid to strike out, you know, kind of evaluate it, think about it, make sure you're making the move you want to make, but don't wait too long and push forward. If you have something that's exciting you that you've never seen anybody do, oh, and that was the point I was trying to make, is being a leader, go and do that, you know, do that thing. And being a leader is just striking out and doing that kind of thing. and being the one who's creating the path instead of being following another path that's already been laid. It's important to not try to reinvent the wheel sometimes. Sometimes we're trying to fix problems that aren't broken, that kind of thing. Try to avoid that. But striking out on your own path is an advantage, because if you're the only one doing it at first, then that's how you're gonna be the first person doing it, and you're gonna have the success. And you're gonna be contributing to the world by creating a whole new way of doing things, or a whole new type of whatever it is you're doing, you know. And that's inspirational, and that's why people follow that. You know, they don't follow you because you're an amazing person and they want to obey what you say to do and things like that. They follow you because you're inspiring and you're striking out and doing something that's never been done before, or not in that way, you know. And I know I'm still saying, you know, but I'm trying to, like, keep it smaller amount, and hopefully I can really squash that habit. Sorry, guys and gals. So yeah, that, I think I've rounded on all the points I wanted to make as far as that goes. And then the last thing I wanted to say was, if there's anybody who out there who is young, you know, at this point, who's listening, who's, and I know there's just to shout out one person, because this person has been an inspiration to me, and you should go check out her videos, is Kristen Middleton. And I know she's been listening, or she said she was going to listen to the podcast, so she may be listening. So that's really cool. Thank you for listening, Kristen. And I really have been enjoying your videos as well. And she's doing the 100 Days of Comics as well. And it's really exciting to listen to her videos or watch them and things, because she's at that age where she's looking at colleges and stuff like that. And she, one of the colleges she talked about maybe going to and that she really wants to go to is the Kubert School. And I, you know, I remember when I was younger, I wanted to go to the Kubert School. And I never, you know, like I said, I got distracted and whatnot, but, you know, I'm almost kind of jealous of her that she's able to have this opportunity. And I think it, if she is going to go to that school, or whatever school it is that she ends up choosing, and I'm not even saying that school has to be the path, it costs a lot of money, but if you, it's almost not worth it sometimes if it costs too much money. Because, you know, it's hard to make a lot of money in comics and stuff like that to pay off the debt and this and this and that. But I don't want to, like, deter anybody from doing something that would be helpful. And I think it would help her, you know. She's, I don't know, she's, we all could probably be helped by going to one of these schools, you know. Freaking, you know. but I'm really excited to see that, and like I said, I'm a little jealous that she's going to be able to hopefully go to one of these schools, and that's really cool. And I really look forward, though, to seeing her progress and to see her, what her experience is, and see what she makes because of this and what she comes up with. And her videos are really entertaining otherwise anyways. She did this video, how to make a bitchin' pigeon, or how to draw a bitchin' pigeon, and throughout the whole thing, she has, like, this commentary, and I'll put a link in the show notes, but she's, like, commenting on how this pigeon is sad because he's bitching, you know, he's got a bad life or something like that, and it's just so interesting. Like, there's, like, a story behind it. It's funny, you know, so that kind of thing. Yeah, so that's another example. It's cool to watch those examples. And, you know, like I was saying, I wanted to kind of have some advice. I guess just some thoughts maybe for anybody who's younger who may be listening to this. I'm not trying to point you out, Kristen. You know, really anybody who's listening, you know, don't let this fire that you have, you know, don't take it for granted. Some people like myself are a little pissed at ourselves because we didn't push hard. I know I can only talk for myself, but I've heard other people say that as well. But I'm a little frustrated with myself because I didn't use that energy when I was younger, and now I'm trying to do those things that I wanted to do when I was younger. Still have the same desire and everything, but it would have been nice if I made more headway when I was younger, because then I'd be at a different spot now, and now I'd be looking back on some of the failures and successes, learning from them and pushing even further. But now I'm kind of starting closer to square one than I would like to at this time in my life. You know, I'm 35, so I don't care about saying my age. So, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. So don't take for granted that energy. You know, push forward and use that, and just really jump into it. And if you make failures, that's the thing. That's one thing I didn't realize, is no matter what, there will be points of failure. And even if they're, hopefully they're small points, you know. But don't be afraid of that, because really that's what you need. You know, you need, just like drawing, you need to do a lot of bad drawings to get to the good ones. I even heard Jeff Lafferty say that in his last video. And it's so true. You know, if you're not willing to put the work in and do the bad drawings, you're never going to get to the good ones. We all sucked at one point. I still kind of suck. But, you know, I've gotten better, and I'm trying to really put some mileage on that pencil. And I've been really encouraged by Will Terrell's sketchbook videos, you know, just to try to do like a sketchbook a month at least, and fill up each page and really, you know, push and push and just get the mileage on that pencil or pen or whatever it is and get better at this thing, you know. So, you know, use that time, this time, to really push forward and do something with it. Don't be afraid to make bold moves. Don't be afraid to fail. You're going to fail, but you're going to learn from that stuff. And you're not going to get to the success you want until you have gone through some of the struggle and maybe failed at a couple things. And maybe you'll hit it right away. Maybe you'll get success right away. But eventually, you know, you're going to want to do something and try it, and it's not going to work out. But just keep pushing through that, because you're not learning if you're not failing a little bit here and there, you know. So, and then also, you know, there's all that, resistance that you're going to find. You know, you're too young, or maybe your parents want you to try to do something more realistic with your life that will, you know, maybe they want you to be a doctor or a lawyer or something. You have been given this desire for a reason, in my opinion. Well, a lot of people might not, you know, believe in God or whatever, but I attribute it to that. But even still, if you're bent towards a certain way, that's what you should be doing. If you have a passion for something, that's what you should be doing. If you have a passion for art and have no interest in being a lawyer, I mean, you should always pursue it. Even if you can't make a living at it yet. I'm making a living doing something else, you know. But at the moment, but I am pushing towards the art thing as much as I possibly can. And I'm open to other kinds of things that are at least related, like maybe a graphic design job or like coding or something that, you know, you could create with. Those are more sought after skills and stuff, but if you want to do something, do it and push for it. And there are people who are making a living doing anything that within the arts that you want to do. And just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not possible. They pushed towards it and they found a way and maybe rode a wave, but they were ready for the opportunity because they were pushing towards it. And the opportunity presented themselves and they rode that wave, and then they find another way to do what things once that wave finishes. So it's worth doing, and don't let anybody tell you you can't do it. You know, I mean, for me, my parents were sort of supportive, but at the same time, they knew that it's not easy. But the thing is nothing is easy. There's this whole thing, you know, that whole thing, the get-rich-quick schemes. People are always, like, discouraging others to try to find a get-rich-quick solution. And the thing is, that kind of misses the point. Because you can actually get rich quick. But one thing you cannot do, and I'm not saying that's the way you should do it. Sometimes it's better not to get rich quick anyways. And I'm not trying to say getting rich is the goal. But this is just an example. You can get rich quick. It is possible. But what is not possible, unless you win the lotto or are born into the money, but that's not the normal cases and not how I would want to do it anyways. So you can get rich quick, but what you can't do is you can't get rich easy. Everything takes work. It doesn't matter. You're going to have to work really hard. So why, you know, if it's really hard to make a living at art or music, well, it's really hard to make a living, you know, flipping burgers. That's not easy work. I don't want to do that work. And then I don't get paid very well for it. So it is really hard to make a living. Say your passion is to flip burgers. Well, you're not going to make a lot of money flipping burgers. So it is going to be really hard to pay the bills. You're going to have to find another way to make money as to support your passion for flipping burgers. You know? I mean, that's just a silly example, but I hope you get the point. You are going to have to work hard no matter what it is you do. So why not make it the thing you love that is possible to make a living at? Because other people are doing it. So don't let people deter you. You know, be safe, be smart, take wisdom as much as you can. But when you're that young and you're adolescent, sometimes you're going to skip some of those things. Whatever, do that. You're going to fail a little bit, maybe, because of it, but you're going to learn through that. And experience is a better teacher sometimes. Just try to stay safe and don't do drugs and freaking die because of your passion, you know? If you can stay away from that, then I think you'll be all right. Try to make good decisions as much as you can, but don't take this time for granted. Is the biggest point. Use this energy and push forward and make something and do something awesome, you know. And for all you older farts out there like me, and you know, if you still have plenty of time left, let's rekindle this fire, let's keep this thing fresh, and let's push forward. You got plenty of time, you know, you really do. We're getting older, but still, even if you're like 50, 60, you can still make something of this stuff. You can still work on projects. I don't care. 50 is the new 30. Just keep pushing. And what are you going to do otherwise, you know? You're going to not push and you're just going to, you know, die or something eventually? I mean, push now. Make something of what you, the time you have left. It's worth it. So some people get into their best times during older times in their lives, you know. Some people are, I heard stories of people going to school and graduating at like 90, you know. As long as you're alive, you should be pushing forward and trying to learn. It's so, the one of the most sad things is somebody who thinks they've failed and stops working in their 20s or 30s, you know. That's ridiculous, even for any time, really. And it's a sad life, and I feel bad for people who do that. But it's kind of their own fault, but I, you know, I don't try to judge anybody. I know that that resistance is there, and it's, I'm tempted to do that too. I'm tempted to sit in front of the TV and not do any drawing or anything, you know, but I don't. I try to push forward every night. I try to, at least, even when I'm watching TV or whatever with my wife, I try to make more stuff, and people think I'm super prolific. And to be honest, most of my art is created while I'm sitting on that couch. But I'm not, I can't be stagnant. I have to keep making progress every day and pushing forward. And that's a big part of this 100 days and just everything I've been trying to do. I want to make a living doing art, and it's possible, and it's going to take hard work, and it's taking hard work, but I'm going to be working hard anyways, so why not work hard on what I love? And, you know, I'll cap it on that. I'll leave you guys with that, because I'm starting to repeat myself anyways. And I'm sick of saying, you know. And hopefully I will kill that habit. I tried to do it in this last part of the podcast, but still had a little trouble. So if anybody has any advice on helping with that, I'd love that too. Feel free to let me know what's going on. Little updates too. I did a bunch of revamping on my site, donkeyjawprojects.com, this weekend. And I put up a commissions page too. And I'll be adding more stuff to it. But right now there's, I think, 3 or 4 sections. And if there's anything that anybody wants that isn't there, you know, feel free to let me know. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you guys are mostly artists too, so you might not want to do that. But if you do, if you are interested in some art for commissioning me, run over to that page and check out, you know, my prices, check out, you know, my art and see if stuff you like and whatnot. And I'd love to do a commission. It's definitely fun to do those. I enjoy that, so yeah, let me know. So that's up there, and yeah, that's about it for updates for now. Working on comics and all that, so you know, just hit me up and leave comments, and if you want to support, go head on over to patreon.com/plex. You can do that, or, you know, leave a review in iTunes. Like I said, hit me up for commission, or just listen to the podcast and share it. Or, you know, I think the podcast is one of the biggest things that helps me move forward and stuff and connect with people. So, you know, please share the podcast. And a lot of you guys have, and I really thank you guys who have shared and have supported. You guys are really awesome. So there's that. And yeah. I'm going to leave it there. Thank you guys for listening. You guys are really awesome and an inspiration to me. And I will talk to you next week on the Escape Part, blah, 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 blah. The Escape Artist Podcast. Dun, dun, dun. Later.
Background music provided by Mr. Poole. You can find show notes at donkeyjawprojects.com, where you can also sign up for the newsletter. If you'd like to support, go to patreon.com/plex or go to iTunes and leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Now get your butt out there and make some awesome stuff. It's Escape Artist.